Psalm 103. Psalm 103, look if you would at verse 1. Psalm 103, verse 1. This is a psalm of David, and it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are opposed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again this morning, Lord. We thank you for everything. And Lord, we could stay here all day long, Lord, and all night and all week, and we would never be able to thank you for everything that you've ever done for us, Lord, and continue to do for us to this day. But Lord, help us to be a thankful people. Lord, help us as we look at this psalm today, Lord, and we see just how thankful that David was when he wrote this thing. Lord, help us to see that, Lord, you are the one who deserves all our thanks, because we would have nothing without you, Lord, and we would be nothing without you. Lord, help us to see that this morning, Lord. And I pray this morning, if there's somebody here that's not saved, that has never received Jesus Christ, Lord, they have no idea really what we're talking about when we're talking about being thankful to our Creator. But Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that if they are not saved, that they will just, Lord, that you'll just allow them to hear the Word of God and Lord, and just convict their heart and help them to see, Lord, that they desperately need a Savior. And Lord, I pray they'll be saved today. And Lord, as Christians today, help us, Lord, even after hearing this, Lord, if we could just be a little bit more thankful today than what we were yesterday, Lord, help that to be so. Pray you just bless this message now. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, since the first Thanksgiving Day was observed by the Pilgrims in 1621, and President Lincoln proclaimed it a national holiday in 1863, Thanksgiving Day has been a vital part to our national life. Gratitude and thanksgiving to God is a very important thing to Christians, and it's something that all Christians ought to do. But you know, we have a tendency to, you know, we celebrate Thanksgiving Day, and I'm all for it. I mean, there's some any day that we're thankful to God is a good thing. Amen. But it shouldn't be just limited just to a day. And sometimes, you know, there are Christians today that I have no doubt that they're thankful, but they tend to be more thankful on Thanksgiving Day when that's when we as Christians, we say, okay, this is when we need to remember the things that God has done for us. I want to encourage you today that don't wait until a day in November to think about the things that God has done for you. You need to think about that every single day. Every single day, every morning you get up, you should be immediately, you should say, "Lord, thank you for allowing me to take another breath. Lord, thank you for allowing me to get up out of bed. Lord, thank you for allowing me to be able to see the sunshine, to be able to go outside." You know, I don't want to get too deep into this, but I will tell you that I was in a position at one time where I was in a hospital for about 2 weeks. And the Lord used that just to change everything, because the only thing I wanted to do was get outside and let the wind hit my face. I mean, just being caught up on the inside, it was killing me. And now every day I walk outside, I don't care if it's 15 below zero. If that sun could hit my face, I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to feel that. Lord, thank you for letting me see a sunset. Lord, thank you for letting me see a sunrise. Folks, we have so much to be thankful for. Why in the world would we only keep it to a day? We need to be thankful all the time for everything that the Lord has done for us. And really, that's what we're seeing here in this 103rd Psalm. It's talking about Thanksgiving. And you know, Thanksgiving, rather than being a day, it should be an attitude of a Christian. We should be thankful people. We should always be thankful. If you'll notice there, back in Psalm 100, verse 4, you're not there, but in Psalm 100, verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That's not talking about just one day. That's talking about every day. That's talking about an attitude that we should have. We should have the attitude of thankfulness. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Now, if listen, when we read that Bible, we should read every single word of it and believe every single word of it. Amen? Now, that verse right there in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this. It says, in everything give thanks. Hey, that's the good and the bad. If all of a sudden, the other day I was backing up my wife's van. And up until that time, the only damage we've ever had on any vehicles, I can blame my sons for. Okay? Up until the other day. Because when I went to go back it up, I've always been one who, I hate to say this, but I pride myself on not having to look over my shoulder to back up. I like using my side mirrors. Well, that's been working for years, but it didn't work this past week. Because as I was backing into our driveway, there's a steel post right there. And I was looking out this rear view mirror backing up, and I forgot to look out of that one. And the next thing I heard was, and this is my wife's car. And so I pulled forward, and as I pulled forward, I heard it even ripping even more. And I'm thinking, man, this is not going to be good. Well, I got out, and it was almost dark, and I looked all over the car, and I could not find out where I hit this thing. I mean, there was not even a scratch. I was like, I'm in. Till we come over to the church day before yesterday, and I had Caleb with me. And all of a sudden, Caleb goes, he walks around to the side of the car, and he goes, whoa! And I was like, what? He goes, oh, Dad, I found out what you did. And I looked, and right there on the side door, there's a handle. And where there was a bolt that was on that post, and it went right along that handle. And I mean, just ripped that thing all to pieces. They just ripped it all to pieces. That Bible says to be in everything, give thanks. Now, I'm thankful that I have a wife that didn't kill me. but I'm supposed to give thanks even when bad things like that happen. Why? It could have been worse. Amen? I mean, driving to church, somebody could have ran a stop sign and not only just creamed the car, but could have creamed me too. Why? We got to be thankful for these things. You know, and sometimes it's hard for us to be thankful in everything, but it says here, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. You know what God's will is for you? For you to be a thankful people. Why? You have a lot to be thankful for. You have a lot to be thankful for. So Thanksgiving is not only just a day, but it's also an attitude of the heart. And one of the most healthy, fulfilling things that you can do as a Christian is express your thanksgiving to God. A thankful heart is a happy heart. And it's one of the greatest things you can do. And now, when the Lord gave us His Bible, He gave us a book that even teaches us to be thankful, tells us the things that we should be thankful for, and tells us how to express our praise and thanksgiving to God. And really, I'm referring to the book of Psalms, because Psalms is basically a hymn book of the Jewish people, and it's filled with psalms that tell us how to express thanksgiving to God. Again, you've heard me say it before, but you know, sometimes we say, turn over to Psalm chapter this. No, it's not really chapter anything. Those are specific songs. So it should be turn over to this psalm or that psalm. And that's how it should be, because they're songs. And in those songs, most of those songs, especially those ones that were written by David, you just continually see thankfulness, 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 and praising God and thankfulness. That's what there are. And certainly 103, Psalm 103 is one of those psalms. And as you read Psalm 103, you're going to find out that there is not a word of complaint anywhere in that psalm. Nobody's complaining. Nobody's murmuring. No complaints. Instead, you see this over and over. You see the words, Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You see it over and over. In fact, you see it two times in the first two verses where he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then you'll notice four times in the last four verses he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. So he begins the psalm by expressing thanksgiving to God, and he ends the psalm with expressing thanksgiving to God. Now, I want us, as we approach Thanksgiving this week, to see some things and some reasons that we should be thankful to the Lord. Now, I'm just going to tell you that it shows you just what a mess that man is when we have to look and try to find something that we can be thankful for. We should never have to do that, but that's because that's the way we are. We have to try to find something to be thankful for. But here, we're shown some reasons why we should be thankful to God and why we can express our thanksgiving to God. You know, and maybe you've had a difficult week, and maybe things haven't really gone well for you this week, or maybe you've had some problems and some hardships. But I want to say to you this morning that in spite of those things, there are many things which we can thank God for this morning, regardless of what you're going through. And so I want to point out some of the things that David points out. And I want you to notice that the first thing that David points out to be thankful for, and maybe this is something that you haven't really thought about this week. You know, when it comes down to things we're thankful for, I mean, we look at our houses, we look at our cars, we look at our, you know, families, we look at different things, and we say we're thankful for this, and we're thankful for that, and that's all good. But what I want you to see are some things that David looked at, because when we see what he looked at, that gives us even more things to be thankful for. And so here is the first thing that he talks about that he's thankful for, and that is, he shows that he's thankful for who God is. For who God is. Now, notice the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, the psalmist begins by talking to himself, basically, and he's saying, soul, I want you to be thankful and grateful to God for who he is. You know, sometimes around the house, I sometimes will start talking to myself, especially if I get frustrated. You know, if I do something stupid, I'll say things like, well, that was just real dumb, Bob, now, wasn't it? You know, and you kind of start talking to yourself. And sometimes it gets a little embarrassing when somebody hears you. And, you know, because, I mean, people in my house are pretty quick to call you out on things like that, you know. And they'll say, hey, Dad, who are you talking to? And then I give them an answer. I tell them, I'm talking to an intelligent person. That's what I tell them, you know. And that's my answer to them. But here, the psalmist, he's really talking to himself, and he says, my soul be thankful, bless the Lord. And then he says, all that is within me, that's within me, bless his holy name. Every part of our being ought to be involved in thanksgiving. Our intellect ought to express thanksgiving to God. Our emotions should be filled with the emotion of gratitude. Our actions should show that we're thankful people. The psalmist said, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, when you think about the name of God, the holy name of God expresses everything that God is. It expresses everything. In other words, it expresses his entire person. It expresses his attributes. And he's saying that he's thankful for who God is. Did you know that what you believe about God will have a great deal to do with how thankful you are to God? Just how much you know about him. And you say, well, what does that matter to me? Well, listen, you can't know more about God until you read about God in the Bible. Amen? That's the reason it tells you that we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The more you read about him, the more you know about him. The more you know about him, the more you want to get on your knees and say, thank you, Lord. Why? Now listen, what that means is this. You see a lot of Christians today that are unthankful. I'm just going to tell you, if you have Christians today that are unthankful, I'm going to show you some Christians that need to read their Bible more. Because when you start to think about who God is, and by the way, the God in the Old Testament is the same God you serve today. It hasn't changed. And so when you're reading your Bible and you start to go back and you read, and again, I want to encourage you to read the entire Bible. If you've never read the entire thing through, listen, it doesn't matter how long it takes you. Everybody says, well, read it through the year. If you can, fine. If it takes you 5 years, fine. Just read the thing through. And when you're reading this thing through, you're going to read about the God in the Old Testament. It begins with, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. By the way, the Bible never tries to argue the fact that there is a God. Never. It never says in the beginning, let me tell you how, you know, that there's a God and that God created. No, it says in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. It is an argument. It's just assuming that you already know that. That's reading the Bible says a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The Bible automatically assumes that you would at least be smart enough to know that there's a God. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. He created everything. And then as you continue to read through your Bible, you see how that, you know, he put Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam and Eve, they messed up. They ate the fruit. They disobeyed God. God could have wiped them off the face of the planet right then and there. He didn't do it. He gave them grace. Even though they disobeyed him, even though the wages of sin is death, he still gave them grace. He even went so far as to give them grace enough to wrap them up in animal skin so they wouldn't have to be over there hiding in the bushes. The grace of God. And as you continue going on, then all of a sudden you find out that Abraham shows up. And then God gives mercy and gives promises to Abraham and then to his seed. And then all of a sudden you get into the New Testament and you see over and over and over how people have been disobeying God and disobeying God and disobeying God. And you see what God, as powerful as he is, you see to read the stories in the Old Testament and you start to see how God will wipe away armies. And wipe away, you know, people that are heavily outnumbering his children and all these things and the power of God. You see that, but then you see him giving grace and giving grace and giving grace. You get in the New Testament and there's Jesus Christ. He comes up. God manifests in the flesh. He comes down. They crucify him. You know what God could have done then? Wiped us all off the face of the map again. He didn't. He gave us grace. And it continues on and on and on. Think about this, folks. You're sitting in a church today. God made it possible for you to be right here today to hear this message. Listen, during this message, some of you may not be saved. God's going to give you an opportunity. He doesn't have to. He's going to give you an opportunity to be saved today. Why? He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He allows you to be here today. As a Christian, he allows you to be here today. Maybe there's something wrong in your life, and he's trying to show you this is something you need to take care of. Boy, can you imagine the grace of him? I mean, can you imagine that? That's who God is. That's who God is. You know what David's saying? Lord, bless the Lord my soul with everything in me. Bless his holy name. Just for who he is. When you think about the power of God and who he is and the fact that he shows you grace and he shows you mercy and he does what he does for you, how in the world could we not be thankful for that? When you think about how powerful he is and how all-knowing he is and how completely holy he is and the fact that he never changes. Man, I love that more than anything. I don't have to worry about him changing with the times. I don't have to worry about him changing with the seasons. I don't have to worry about him changing his mind about what's wrong and right just because the rest of the world changes their opinion on it. No, wait a second. The same God all the way through. I tell you this, I read my Bible, I have absolutely no doubt where God stands on issues. It's right there. And he ain't changing on it. Amen? Amen? I love that about God. I do. The fact that I don't have to change my thoughts on what he believes all the time because he doesn't change. And think about this, folks. Because of who God is, do you realize who you're talking to when you're praying? I mean, you're talking to the great physician. You're talking about the Holy One. You're talking about the one who is all powerful. The one who can do anything, that there's nothing impossible with him. That's who you're praying to. Have you ever thanked the Lord just for being him? Just for being him? I heard about a man one time. He was in his study. And about that time, there was a little knock on the door and he said, come in. And it was his son. His little son walked in. The father looked up at him and said, son, what do you want? And the little boy said, I don't want anything. I just want to be with you. When was the last time that you prayed and said that to the Lord? Lord, listen, I'm not going to come to you tonight or this morning, Lord, and I'm not going to ask anything of you. Lord, I just want you to know, I just want to tell you thanks for just being you. Thanks for just being you. Thanks for being the Creator. Thanks for being the Holy One. Thanks for being the all-powerful one, the all-knowing one. Lord, I just want to thank you for being you. That's how David began the psalm. He started thanking him for just who he was. Lord, thank you for just being God. I'll tell you something, folks. Sometimes we don't think about being thankful for that. But can you imagine what it would be like if God wasn't who he was? If he wasn't all powerful? If he would just, if he could only do a certain, just certain things, but he couldn't do everything. I mean, the fact that any prayer that you ask him, and anything that you ask him in prayer, he's capable of giving you that answer. He's capable of taking care of it. I mean, can you imagine how worthless it would be if that weren't so? I mean, think about this. If you have somebody in your family that's very sick or dying, can you imagine praying to a God that you say, well, you know, he's powerful, but he ain't real powerful. Hopefully he can get this done. No, when you pray, you're talking to a person, if it's his will for that person to be healed, that person's going to be healed. That's the person you're praying to. That's the God you're praying to. When's the last time you just thank God for just for being who he is? That's what David was doing. He's praying him for just who he is. But then, if you'll notice, beginning in verse 2 and following, we see David thanking God for what he does. Look, if you would, Psalm 103, verse 2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Now, you know, when we think about benefits, we call them bennies. And usually that's what you get. You get a job, then you get certain benefits with it. You know, maybe it's medical insurance, or maybe it's dental insurance, or maybe it's, you know, a week paid vacation every couple of years. There are certain benefits that come with that. May I tell you that as Christians, when you got saved, you got a lot of benefits with that. I mean, a lot of benefits. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, listen, the Lord has done things for us. The Lord does things for us still today that are benefits of being his children. And he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. We need to be thankful for all the wonderful things that God has done for us and continues to do for us every single day. Just you making it to church this morning, do you know how many things that God had to make happen for that for you to be here? Safely? I mean, of course, I think about this just about every Thanksgiving. I should think about it every day, but do you realize the things that the Lord kept from happening to you this morning so you could be here alive in one piece? I mean, think about people that were coming up to the stop sign as you were coming up. The Lord made it to where they were paying attention. He made it to where the light would turn at a certain time. There are no accidents, folks. God got you here safely. That's what he did. When was the last time you thanked him for that? I'll tell you this, I'm to the point, especially now, if you're riding with preachers, you should do this all the time because preachers are horrible drivers. If you don't believe it, ask John Story. He was riding me one time. I thought, honestly, he thought he was going to die, okay? But, you know, you need to thank God before you get in the car and thank God after you get out of the car that you made it there safely. Amen? That's what we should do. But we have a tendency sometimes to forget about the things that God does for us. That's the reason it says right here, forget not all his benefits. You know what that's saying? It's saying this, you're going to forget them, so don't forget them. There you got benefits, don't you ever forget that. As Christians, as people, we are forgetful people. I mean, we're forgetting things all the time. There are things that God does for us, and we know he's done for us, but yet we forget them. What we do is we get down, we start giving thanks to the Lord, and after about 5 minutes, we're like, oh, I can't think of anything else he's done for me. No, listen, if you sat down, and again, every Thanksgiving I tell you this, you need to sit down and just write the things that you know the Lord has done for you. And start today. You know what you're going to find out? That the more you start writing, the more you're going to think of more. And the more you're going to think of more. And then pretty soon, you could be on your knees for 14 weeks and you couldn't cover everything. Why? Because as you're writing it down, the Lord's still doing things for you. He's still giving you benefits every single day. It's a non-ending thing. There's a reason when we get to heaven, we're going to be thanking him for all of eternity. Why? Because he's doing everything for us. And you can never thank him enough. Ever. He says, forgetting all of his benefits. Can you think of some of the wonderful things that God has done for you? I think about the hymn we sometimes sing at Thanksgiving. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. I can think of many wonderful things that God has done for me, but David here gives some of the things that we can thank God for today. For example, in verse 3, notice he's talking about how we can thank God for saving us from our sins. In verse 3 it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Listen, if you're saved today, aren't you thankful that all your iniquities are forgiven? I tell you, I'm thankful that the Lord saved me from my past sins. And I'm thankful also that the Lord saved me from my future sins. Amen? Why? I know I'm going to mess up. I mess up every day. So do you. But God, listen, when Jesus Christ hung on that cross, he said, it is finished. He paid for them all, folks. Every one of them. And I'll tell you this, I can't think of anything that we should be more thankful of than that. The fact that he's forgiven us all of our iniquities. I mean, really, if you think about it, there's nothing that we should be more thankful for than the fact that not only will we be in heaven one day because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, but we'll have never have to pay for any of those sins we've ever committed and still commit in our lives. We should thank God every day for that Jesus Christ took our place on the cross and paid the wages that we owed. We should be thankful for that. And I'm just going to tell you, folks, you may not be thankful about today, but there's a day you will be. I guarantee you there's a day. You say, well, today it's not a big deal that I'm forgiven all my sins. It's not a big deal he's forgiven me all my iniquities. Hey, yes, I understand I owe the wage of death, but what's the big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal is. The people today who choose not to be saved will have to pay those wages of sin. The wage of sin is death. They'll have to pay those wages on their own. Hey, listen, at the end of the day, it's either Jesus Christ, you trust him to pay for it on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, or you pay for him yourself. And if you choose to pay for all your sins by yourself, then you'll have to pay for those sins in hell for all of eternity. Why? Because you sinned against a God who's never going to die. And you have to pay for that yourself. Now, I'm going to tell you something. As a Christian today, I may get to the point where I say, yeah, what's the big deal? But I guarantee you this. You read over in Daniel chapter 7 where it says the Ancient of Days is sitting there and there's thousands upon thousands that's ministering to him and there's thousands upon thousands standing before that throne and they search the book, and if that name isn't written in the book of life, which the only way your name is going to be written in the book of life is you have to trust Jesus Christ, because that's how you get everlasting life. If they look in that book and your name's not there, you see these people being thrown in the lake of fire. You know what? At that day, when you feel the heat off that fire and you see the smoke going up, you're going to be thankful then that your sins were paid for. When you see that you were saved by the skin of your teeth, you're going to be thankful. And you're going to get on your knees and you'll say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for paying that wage that I owed that I could never pay. Thank you, Lord, for that. That's what it's going to be, folks. Hey, listen, why not be thankful today? Why not be thankful today? He starts off by talking about some of the good things we can be thankful for. Certainly, salvation, the fact that he forgives us of all of our iniquities. Verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? That's what he's done for you. You were on the path of hell. You were on the path of destruction. But Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, could see every one of you, and he says, I'll die in their place so that way they don't have to face destruction. And all you had to do is receive him. Have you done that this morning? And if you have, are you thankful that he saved you, that he redeemed you? We should be thankful every day for that. That's what David says. But then also, David also says in verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things? You know, the Lord's always given us good things. Always. In fact, James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. I don't know about you, but I enjoy good things. Amen? Now, this coming Thanksgiving, I'm just going to tell you, you're probably going to be putting a lot of your mouth is going to be satisfied with a lot of good things. Amen? I mean, the other day I went to the store and I saw this pumpkin pie, and I tell you, this pumpkin pie was about that big. And I looked at Caleb. Caleb looked at me and we're like, should we get it now? I was like, nope, we'll wait. That's some good things. Amen? But you ever think about the good things that the Lord gives us? I mean, all the time. Let me just mention a few of the things that God gives us that are really good. Maybe you haven't considered these. But we know one of the things that God gives us in this life that we are very rarely thankful for, and it's really good, and that is the Lord lets us have fun in life. How many of you like having fun? I mean, sure, it beats not having fun, amen? I mean, I like having fun. You know, the Lord allows you to do that. There's two ways you can go through life. I mean, you can go through life as an old sad sack, gloomy, down in the dumps all the time, always finding fault with other people and other things. Or you can go through life and have a good time, enjoying it. I'm thankful the Lord allows us to enjoy life. Some people have the attitude that God's some sort of Scrooge up in heaven, and he never wants you to enjoy anything. He never wants you to laugh. He never wants you to have fun. But I'll tell you this, in my opinion, I want to make sure you get that. In my opinion, I think when the Lord sees what Bob Crowder does day and day, I think he's up there on the throne just shaking the throne with laughter, saying, look at that silly guy down there. I do. I think he's got a sense of humor. I think the Lord has a sense of humor. You can't read the New Testament and not get that. He does. Hey, listen, if there's no humor, if there's no laughter, if there's none of that, boy, I tell you what, I don't understand how heaven is going to be a bunch of people rejoicing then. Would you agree that you're going to be pretty happy in heaven? Amen. Hey, listen, you can be happy down here too. The Lord allow you to do that, and I'm thankful for that. I'm also thankful for the fact that that we have the joy that comes with being saved. There's no joy in all of life like the joy that Jesus Christ can bring in your life. In fact, 1 Peter 1:8 describes this joy. It says, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He's saying, even though you know Jesus Christ is here, you can't see him. Even though you've never actually seen him face to face, you know he's there. And you love him. Therefore, rejoice with joy unspeakable. That means it's so much joy that you can't even describe it. You say, what kind of joy is that? You remember when you got saved? You remember the moment you received Jesus Christ? You remember when you felt the burden of sin lifted off of you? That's the joy unspeakable. You know that feeling when, as a Christian, you know, you've been out of fellowship with the Lord for a while and your prayers haven't been answered and you just felt like something was wrong, and then all of a sudden the Lord shows you something that you're doing wrong in your life, and all of a sudden you make it right with God, and all of a sudden you have that joy just flowing through, and you just say, my cup runneth over. That's the joy I'm talking about. When's the last time you thanked God for that? You know, I'll tell you this, folks, sometimes when I'm reading my Bible, and I like that something jumps off that page, I call it the nugget. You get a nugget. The Lord shows you something. And all of a sudden you're like, whew. And I start sitting there, I'll start giggling. You know, ask the boys. I start giggling like a schoolgirl. I do. Every time I get one of those nuggets. And I'm thinking to myself, man, it's just, boy, on the inside, I feel like I'm just going to overflow. It's just like, well, I just want to explode. Do you realize that if that is you and this body on this earth, can you imagine how good heaven's going to be then? I mean, if something that would give you so joy unspeakable on this earth, in this sin-ridden body, can you imagine how it's going to be when you get to heaven and you're standing in the presence of God himself? Psh, boy, you talking about joy. Joy. I'm thankful for it. I'll tell you something else I'm thankful for. The good things that God has given us. I'm thankful for family. I'm thankful for my wife and my children, my brother, my mom. Isn't it wonderful to have families? You say, well, yeah, but you don't understand Uncle George. Well, yeah, I understand he rubs you the wrong way, but he's still family. Still family. God has given us a family. Don't you understand it's God who designed a family? He's the one who ordained the family. He's the one that made it to where you know how to be a good family member. I tell you this, folks, if you're this Thanksgiving, if you're able to gather together as a family or get on the phone and talk to family, you should be thankful for that. You should be thankful for that. I'm thankful to God for family. I'm also thankful to God for this church. To have a church family who prays for you and encourages you, who loves you and cares about you, who are there when you need them. You realize it's the Lord who made all that possible. He made all that possible. That's a pretty good thing, isn't it? It's good things. That's just something that so many Christians take for granted today, and that's something so many Christians are not thankful for. But in this filthy, sin-ridden world, it's good to have a place where you can come and have fellowship together and worship God together, just as, you know, we'll do it for all of eternity. These are just some of the good things that God satisfies us with every day. We thank the Lord for saving us from our sins. We thank the Lord for satisfying us with good things. I'll tell you something else he talks about, and that is he thanks the Lord when it comes to these good things, and that is he surrounds us with his mercy. You ever think about the mercy that he gives you every day? I mean, mercy. When you read the psalm, right in the middle of this psalm, you'll notice that all of a sudden he starts to starts thanking God for his mercy. Look at verse 8. It says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." You know, even though they are different, grace and mercy kind of go together. I mean, grace means that God gives us something that we don't deserve. That's what grace is. God giving us something that we don't deserve. None of us in here deserve to be saved. But if you're saved here today, you're saved by the grace of God. Okay? We don't deserve to go to God's wonderful heaven. But grace makes that possible. Mercy, on the other hand, means that God does not give us something that we do deserve. Everybody in this room is a sinner. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. And the Bible says that the wage of sin is death. So you know what every one of us deserves today? Death. That's what we deserve. Why? We're the ones who committed the sin. Jesus Christ wasn't. He was sinless. But we committed the sin. Therefore, we deserve death. We deserve to die. We deserve to go to hell. That's what we deserve. But I'm thankful that God does not give us what we deserve. When it comes to our sins, I'm thankful that he gives us mercy. The Lord is plenteous in mercy. Look at verse 10. He has not dealt with us after our sins. That's mercy. But notice that the psalmist tries to measure God's mercy here. In verse 11, he says this. He says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." Now, I tell you this. When you read the Bible, you're going to find out that there are basically three heavens. You have the heaven where the birds fly, and you know, from where the birds can fly on down to where the very air we breathe, that's heaven number one. And then you also read in Genesis chapter 1, it says that in the heavens there's the sun, moon, and stars. So when you have outer space, that's heaven number three or number two. And then if you read over in 2 Corinthians, you read about the third heaven that Paul went up to, where paradise is, the abode of God. That's where the throne of God is today, up in the third heaven. Now you think about this. From right here on this ground, if all of a sudden you got in a rocket and you went up in the air and you say, okay, I'm going to find how high the mercy of God really is. And all of a sudden you go up, and all of a sudden as you're going up, you look out the window, there's birds flying by. You're getting pretty high. You're looking down, you're about 30,000 feet now, you're getting up even higher. Then all of a sudden you break through the atmosphere of the earth, and now all of a sudden you're out in outer space, and you're still going. You're still going. And you look out, there's, you know, there's the moon, and there's, you know, Venus, and there's Saturn, and there's Jupiter, and there's the sun, and you keep on going up, and then you get out of our galaxy, and you get into another galaxy, and who knows how many planets and suns there are out there, and you keep on going up, and more and more and more, and you're still going up and still going up, and you've been going up for days and years, and they're saying this, and they're saying that just our galaxy is so big that it would take like millions of years to travel through the thing at the speed of light, and you still aren't up to the third heaven yet. Boy, I'd say that makes God's mercy pretty big, wouldn't you say? I mean, how do you measure that? Anybody know the distance between here and the throne of God? I mean, you're talking an amazing amount of distance that would be. And so he says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." He's trying to measure God's mercy vertically. He's trying to talk about how high God's mercy is. But then it gets better than that. Look at verse 12. This is where he really brings it home. He says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." Do you realize that's saying that when he forgave your sins, he removed those transgressions so far from you? He's measuring, he's trying to measure it horizontally now, and he's saying this, "As far as the east is from the west." Now, how come he didn't say, "As far as the north is from the south"? Well, because you can measure that. Because if I go up right now, let's say all of a sudden I get in my car and I'm going to head north. And I'll keep on heading north unless I understand there's water between there and there, between here and there, and there's ice between here. Let's just say that I had a hovering car, okay? So I head north. At some point, I'm going to hit north, the North Pole. And then what's going to happen? I'll start going south. So would you agree that you can probably measure from here to the furthest part north before you start going south? That's the reason he didn't say as far as the north is from the south. He said as far as the east is from the west. You say, well, how's it any different? Okay, start heading east and tell me when you get to west. You don't. Why? I don't. You could go all the way around the world. And guess what? If you're heading east, you're still going to be heading east the entire time. Amen? You will never get to west. If you all of a sudden you decide you want to go west, you'll never get to east. Why? You can't measure it. You know what he's saying? He's saying, he doesn't say as far as the north is from the south. He said as far as the east is from the west, so far he's removed your transgression from us. You can't measure it, it's so great. You can't measure his mercy, it's so great. And he says, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. It's unmeasurable. Think about this, folks. For the entire time you've been living, God has given you mercy from day one. And he'll continue to give you mercy. Why? It's never ending. It's never ending. When's the last time you thank God for that? That it doesn't, listen, I'm not saying that it gives you a license to sin. It certainly does not. But you know, as many times as all of us in this room have sinned, and God gives you mercy every single time, do you realize the mercy he's given mankind? Like we said before, the second Adam ate the fruit, he could have been done with mankind right then and there, and he'd have been justified in doing it because the wage of sin is death. But he had mercy. He had mercy on them. He's had mercy through people, on people throughout the ages. He's had mercy upon you. When's the last time we thank God for his mercy that we can't even measure? I'm thankful for that kind of mercy. I'm thankful for who the Lord is. I'm thankful for what he does. But then finally here, the psalmist thanks God for where he dwells. Where he dwells. Look at verse 19. It says, the Lord had prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Now, I'm thankful for where the Lord dwells, because I know that where he dwells, I'm going to dwell there one of these days too. I tell you this, you know, I'm sure you've done it too. I mean, there's these TV shows that show the life and the lifestyles of the rich and famous. I know that's been a long time ago. But what they used to do is they used to show the houses of famous people. And I mean, some of these houses are like huge. I mean, I remember they showed one where they had a full theater inside of his house. Another one where they had like a tennis court and a pool inside of his house. And we're talking monster houses. We're talking millions. We're talking what this world would call mansions. But, you know, and you look at it, you're like, man, that guy must really be rich to have a house like that. I mean, you're talking millions and millions of dollars for a home. Me personally, I'm thinking to myself, that's just more rooms to clean. Amen? Right. I mean, I say this, if it's got one room and I can vacuum it and I can vacuum that room right there, I'm good. Amen? I don't need a whole bunch of rooms. But obviously some people do, all right? So they have these big, huge mansions. And you say, how much money must a man have to have a mansion like that? Well, listen, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. Can you imagine the abode of God? I mean, you're talking about the one who has it all. Who owns it all. Don't you know his place will be pretty nice? That's where you're going to be if you're saved. Aren't you thankful for that? I mean, when you think, hey, listen, you know, here's what it says in John 14. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Well, by the way, you know they're going to be a whole lot bigger than any mansions down here. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know what? I'm pretty thankful for where God dwells, because that's where I'm going to be, because I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm thankful I'm going to be there with him one day. But I'm also thankful that where God dwells, in the sense of him being on his throne. And really, that's what he's saying here. It says, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Now, I tell you this. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that the Lord is in charge. Now, I understand that things are going, that the things in this world may not always go well. The reason why is because God has allowed the devil to have the kingdoms of this world. And as long as he has the kingdom of this world, which it won't be forever, because when the Lord comes back, those kingdoms will be his. But right now, the devil has the kingdom of this world, and you can see what's going on in this world. But know this, folks. It says there that it says that his kingdom ruleth over all. You know what that means? That means that even though the devil has control of the kingdoms of this world, And even though the devil right now is orchestrating things in this world, and we know that things are going to get worse, we know that eventually that the Antichrist is going to come, we know that eventually that things are going to get worse than they've ever been, and we know that the heart of men will wax worse and worse. We know this. But you know what the great hope, one of the great hopes we have as Christians is the fact that the devil can do nothing unless the Lord allows him to do it. Amen. Why? The Lord's kingdom ruleth over all. The devil has the kingdoms of this world, but make no mistake that God is still ruler over the whole thing. The whole thing. Now, I don't know if you're thankful about that, but I am. I'm thankful that the devil doesn't get the final say-so. I'm thankful for that. I bet you Job was pretty thankful for that too. Amen. You realize the devil could have killed Job if God had given permission to. But the Lord says, listen, you can take this from him and you can take that from him and you can do this to him and you can do this to him, but don't you kill Job. Don't you know the devil would have killed him if he could have? He would have. He'd have killed him right now. But the Lord said, nope, can't allow you to do that. I'm thankful that the Lord has the final word. I'm thankful that anything that the devil, when the devil comes to sift me, or when he comes to sift you and to put you through certain temptations and try to get you messed up, I'm thankful that the Lord says, now listen, you can only go so far with Bob. I've given him a way out of temptation. You can only go so far with him. Don't you go any further than that right there. I'm thankful for that. Because I know me. And I know the power of the devil. And I'm thankful that God has the final say-so. I'm thankful that he's still on the throne. When you look at the things going on in this world, one of the great things you should be thankful for is like, you know what, I know it's bad, but God's still on the throne. And if he's allowing something, I know he's allowing it for my good and for his glory. Otherwise, he wouldn't allow it. I'm thankful for that, folks. That's what David was saying. And when he says right here, he says that the kingdom ruleth over all, he was saying, I'm thankful for where God dwells. It's like the poem that says, have faith in God, he's on his throne. Have faith in God, he watches o'er his own. He cannot fail, he must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God. The 103rd Psalm here starts with the words, bless the Lord. It ends in verse 22 with, bless the Lord. In fact, in verses 20, 21, and 22, he calls all the creatures of the earth and the sky to join together in one great thanksgiving service before the Lord. And he says, bless the Lord. Thanksgiving is going to be something, folks, it's going to last for eternity. If you don't like Thanksgiving right now, you better get used to it, because when you get to heaven, that's what you'll be doing. Every day will be Thanksgiving. Every day. 10,000 years from now, you know what you're going to be doing? If you're a Christian, you're going to be sitting up there before the Lord saying, thank you, Lord. 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 That's what you're going to be doing. And you're going to enjoy doing it too, because you're going to see the things the Lord has done for you and continues to do for you. As a Christian, again, you may not be thankful today, though you should be, and you're told to be, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You may not be thankful today, but there is a day when you get up there that you're going to be thankful. And I don't know about you, but I want to learn to be more thankful today. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you're not saved here today, believe it or not, you still have a lot to be thankful for. And we tell you, if you've never received Jesus Christ this morning, you have a lot to be thankful for, and I'm going to name a couple of them to you. Number one, you're thankful he hadn't already taken you out, and you're not already in hell already right now. By his mercy, you're still alive. If you're sitting in this church today and you're not saved, by his mercy and grace, he's allowed you to come here today and to hear the gospel, which is this, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, the sins that you committed, that you owe the wage for. He died for your sins and paid your wage on that cross of Calvary. He was buried and he rose again the third day. And if you'll put your trust in him and call upon him to save you, he'll forgive you of every one of your sins, every one of your iniquities, and he'll put your transgression as far as it is the east is from the west. That's the gospel. If you receive Jesus Christ today, hey, listen, he's allowed you to be here in this church. He allowed you just now to hear that gospel. And he's allowing you to have the choice to choose him or choose to reject him. Boy, you should be thankful for that. By the way, you ought to get saved too. Amen. But if you're a Christian, how in the world could any Christian not be thankful? I'm going to tell you this. Of all the sins that I've read in that Bible, I can't think of anything that's more heinous than for a born-again child of God not to be thankful. I mean, how would you like it if your kids were as thankful toward you as you are towards God? You know, sometimes when our kids, they'll do things like, Dad, I'm going to need you to buy me this. Dad, I'm going to need you to buy me that. Dad, you need to cough it up. Come on, buy that right there for me. That's the way we are a lot of times. We just expect God to take care of everything, demand Him sometimes to take everything. But you know, sometimes we're just like our children. Sometimes we don't always say we're thankful for things. Isn't it nice as parents to hear your children say, you know what, Dad, Mom, thank you for the supper tonight. Amen. Thank you for the bed that I'm sleeping in. I'll tell you this, if my kids actually told me thank you for the bed I'm sleeping in, I'd probably pass out. Okay. Thank you for the bed I'm sleeping in. Thank you for the roof I have over my head. Thank you for paying for the utilities, the heater and the hot water heater and things like that. Thank you for that. Wouldn't it be nice to hear that? Don't you know God's thinking the same thing? Because God gives you far more than what you ever give your kids. Are you thankful this morning? Can you say like the psalmist and say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Lord, thank you for just being you. Lord, thank you for all the good things that you give me. Lord, thank you for where you dwell, because that's where I'm going to be one of these days. When's the last time you thank God for that? Let's stand.